Good afternoon, I'm Daryl Snodgrass. Checking on the arts is made possible by contributing listeners and by the Pink Palace Museum. The chamber music season for Concerts International begins next Thursday, October 13th, with the classical music power couple, cellist David Finkel and pianist Wu Han. This actually marks their sixth time in Memphis under the aegis of Concerts International. David Finkel and Wu Han are among the most esteemed and influential classical musicians in the world today. In 2012, they were the recipients of Musical America's 2012 Musicians of the Year Award, one of the highest honors granted by the music industry. In high demand year after year among chamber music audiences worldwide, the duo has appeared each season at the most prestigious venues and concert series across the United States, Mexico, Canada, the Far East, and Europe to unanimous critical acclaim. Aside from their distinction as world-class performers, David Finkel and Wu Han have established a reputation for their dynamic and innovative approach to the recording studio. In 1977, they launched artist-led classical music's first musician-directed and internet-based recording company, which has served as the model for numerous independent labels. Now in their third term as artistic directors of the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center, David Finkel and Wu Han hold the longest tenure as directors since Charles Wadsworth, the founding artistic director. They are also the founders and artistic directors of Music at Menlo, a chamber music festival and institute in Silicon Valley that has garnered international acclaim, soon to celebrate its 13th season. Additionally, David and Wu Han are artistic directors of Chamber Music Today, an annual festival held in Seoul, Korea, now in its fifth season. You guys are getting to be regulars here in Memphis. I think this is your sixth appearance with our friends at Concerts International. One thing that is new this time is that we're going to be broadcasting your concert live here on WKNO, and we're very excited by that.
That's fantastic. I didn't know that, so I must play well.
Yeah. I'm sure you will. We always like to talk about the music that you're going to do, and I was looking through your program, and these are all significant chamber music pieces, very much each one in their own way. You're starting off with Bach, which I always think everyone should start off with Bach. And you're doing this is a well-known piece. There are three sonatas for viola da gamba and keyboard. You're doing the first one, the BWV 1027. And this is a wonderful piece, very popular, of course, with cellists and pianists, and marked kind of a different stage for not only for Bach, but sort of for counterpoint in general. Tell us about this piece.
Well, the Gamba Sonata was actually written for the Zimmerman's Cafe House. Bach was the organist in town, and so he had a concert series. So he wrote three Gamba Sonatas. They're delightful, and they're in the original trio sonata format, which means slow, fast, slow, fast. The program that is designed for this particular program is the Bach Gamba Sonata, and immediately we're jumping to Beethoven cello sonata, the fourth cello sonata. It just happened the fourth cello sonata is the beginning of the Beethoven's late period, and he was fascinated by the Baroque form, and he also loved Bach. So the first cello sonata he wrote in this late period is exact the same composition format, a slow, fast, slow, fast. Each fast section has very rigorous counterpoint, just like the Bach Gamba Sonata, but at the same time, it's Beethoven's own language. So it's extraordinary to hear the two pieces side by side, but coming from a very different era, of course.
Right.
So that's how the program was designed. Because the counterpoint is so strong, we also, the third piece is a Brahms E minor sonata. A Brahms E minor sonata, especially the last movement, is a fugue, actually taken from the Art of Fugue theme. So he built that. So all the first half, you start out with a Baroque Gamba sonata, and each piece coming from the end of the classical era, also coming from the High Romantic era, or tribute back to the Baroque, either the form or the rigorous of the composition technique and skill and construction. So the first half is actually a complete statement altogether.
Yeah, it's that's a beautiful way to put these things together. Brahms, of course, also a big fan of Bach at a time when few people were. So he really wanted to be able to sort of make an homage to Bach with that sonata.
Absolutely. And, you know, just even to hear three great composers, the three Bs on the first half,
right.
is such a rare treat. Even for us to play the program, we know all the sense of responsibility. So we always want to make this first half of the program shine. And it's really a rigorous, not only listening pleasure, intellectual challenge, and also it's a complete sentence all the way till intermission.
So after intermission, you're going to come back and do one of the major, I guess, cello and piano pieces of the late Romantic period, the Rachmaninoff Sonata in G minor. Again, a piece that sort of has great significance in Rachmaninoff's life and compositional output.
Correct. I want to pass the interview back to David,
okay.
who is available right now. I think he could talk about the Rachmaninoff Sonata because it is one of the most delicious cello sonata in the repertoire.
Okay.
So here comes David. Hold on.
Hello.
Hi, David.
Hi.
We were talking about the Rachmaninoff cello sonata, which is will be the second half of the program.
Yeah, well, we're so fortunate, us cellists, to have a piece like this. You know, he wrote only one sonata for cello, but it's really one of the great pieces of our literature. The program actually reminds me of how well the cello was treated by such a large range of composers. It reminds me again of how fortunate we are as cellists that these great composers like Beethoven, Brahms, and Rachmaninoff loved the cello so much that they were able to write some of their finest music for the instrument. I think the thing to listen for, of course, in the Rachmaninoff Sonata is how the piano part has changed. Because, mm-hmm. of course, Rachmaninoff was one of the great pianists of all time in the Romantic tradition. So in the piano part of the Rachmaninoff Sonata, you'll probably hear more notes and even one movement than you heard in the whole first half of the concert on the piano. It was just his language, his way of writing, and his way of thinking about music. And this lavish piano part provides an incredibly picturesque backdrop to the voice of the cello throughout the sonata.
Yeah, certainly so. And one thing that I've noticed about all of these pieces is that, and I know that this is something that both of you concentrate on, is they are not cello sonatas with piano accompaniment. All of these pieces are, in some sense, a duet.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Beethoven was probably the first composer to really embrace the idea of a solo sonata being an equal partnership between the piano and the solo instrument, whether it's a violin or a cello. So we have that tradition going back to the time of Beethoven, which actually does stem out of the Baroque somehow. But, you know, the piano had to grow out, or the keyboard instrument had to grow out of its harpsichord phase to the forte piano phase, where it could become an instrument that was more expressive, that had dynamic range and color. I think before it could really truly become an equal partner. But
yeah.
once the piano kicked in with all of those expressive possibilities, then the instrument could be on an equal footing expressively, with the other instruments.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful looking program. I'm very much looking forward to it. I mentioned to Wuhan that we're actually going to be broadcasting this live on the radio for the first time. So that's going to be exciting.
That's very exciting.
Yeah, it certainly is. My guests today are David Finkel and Wuhan. They'll be appearing next Thursday evening at 7:30 in Harris Concert Hall on the University of Memphis campus. It is the beginning of the Concerts International Chamber Music Series. If you'd like more information, 527-3067 or cimemphis.org. I wanted to ask you about something that you and the both of you have been co-directors of the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center since 2004, I think, and just recently extended your contract through the 2022 season. And you've done so much wonderful things there, including getting the organization out of New York and going to other places. But you started something just this last summer called Chamber Music Encounters. Tell us about that.
Yes, that was a 1 week chamber music masterclass, really, where we auditioned and invited in four small ensembles, trios and piano quartets and quintets of the very, very highest level senior students, you know, college age or college graduates. And we assembled an incredibly distinguished faculty to work with them for a week. And we spent five full days of teaching and coaching. And at the end of the week, they put on their own concert in Alice Tully Hall, which was an enormous success. And a real triumph for them, and also I think for all of us as a group, because at that level, when you get to the top conservatory musicians today, you're talking about very, very high levels of playing and musicianship, and so the teaching exercise becomes something of a collaboration, really, mm-hmm. between mentor and pupil. At the end of the week, I think we had a very good result. And hopefully this kind of thing can continue down the road.
This is something that that you both are very involved with in education, but also you're sort of chamber music evangelists. You've put a lot of effort into getting people to listen to chamber music, to sort of make that part of their lives. Obviously, this is something that's very important to you.
Well, you know, if you find something that you love, if you love it a lot, it's hard not to want to share it. Chamber music has given us so much joy in our lives, so much we've been able to share it and spread so much enjoyment of this art form all over the world. I think it turns one into kind of an evangelist because you see what good it can do for individuals, for societies. And you say, well, let's spread this around. Fortunately, you know, chamber music is very, chamber music is a portable art form.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to take it around than an opera mm-hmm. or even a symphony. So, yes, we can travel with our chamber groups to distant places. We can also find unusual spaces in which to play, smaller. I mean, we can play concerts in a church. We can play concerts almost anywhere where there's good acoustics and mm-hmm. a good piano. So we can bring chamber music to people, and then hopefully they will come to it as their hunger increases.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's the idea, is to make them hungry for it. something that you guys did, actually it's been quite a few years ago now, but you were the first folks in the classical music field that I'm aware of to start your own record label, Artist Led, which has been very successful. What led you to do that? What made you decide that, you know, we really need to do this ourselves?
Our own label came about because we saw it as the only way that we could figure out to make the product exactly the way we wanted to make it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about artistic things, I'm talking about engineering, talking about editing, talking about timing of release, choice of repertoire, marketing, the contents of the booklet, all of those things we care so deeply about. You know, you have a very small little package in a CD to communicate your art and your passions to people whom you'll likely never meet. So you want it to be the best it possibly can be. You want it to represent you and your convictions to the fullest. You want to do the best justice to the composer and to the compositions that you possibly can. And in order to do that, we thought we had the best chance is if we led and that's why it's called Artist Led, mm-hmm. if we led the whole process from start to finish.
Yeah, and it certainly worked out very well. It's gotten, all of your releases have gotten wonderful reviews, and I think we have them all here in our library, and we play them regularly.
That's good, wonderful.
Another project that you guys are involved with and have been for, I guess, about 14 years now is something called Music at Menlo, and this is a chamber music festival and institute out in the San Francisco Bay Area. Now, tell us about this event.
Music at Menlo is a festival that we created with a lot of local help out there, a lot of wonderful, generous, and enthusiastic people who supported the idea. Music at Menlo is kind of like the artist-led of festivals for us. We built it exactly the way we thought a festival should be built and run, from scratch, from the very beginning. We have, of course, been privileged to perform and visit a lot of other great music festivals around the world. And, you know, from them you take the ideas that work the best. You take the things that made you happy, that made other people happy, that were really working well, and you bring them, all these ideas from different places, into your own festival. I think that's what anybody would do who had the opportunity that we did. We were very grateful for that opportunity, and the model that we created 14 years ago is still working and still generates more and more interest in chamber music, and also loyalty and enthusiasm from our musicians.
Well, it seems to have been very successful, and I understand that this actually is, you are now doing a Music at Menlo Live. Is that a recording series?
Yes, we've been recording our concerts from the very beginning. State-of-the-art audiophile level quality recordings. We spend quite a good deal of time making sure that they're of the very, very highest quality level. And yes, it's pretty much at the end of each summer we come up with a box set that almost usually completely documents all the concerts in the summer.
Oh, that's wonderful stuff. Well, we're very much looking forward to your sixth appearance here with Concerts International on this wonderful program. David, thanks to you, and thanks to Wuhan for talking with me today.
It's a pleasure. We can't wait to get to Memphis.
My guests today, cellist David Finkel and pianist Wuhan. They'll be appearing next Thursday evening at 7:30 in Harris Concert Hall on the University of Memphis campus. It is the beginning of the Concerts International Chamber Music Series. If you'd like more information, 527-3067 or cimemphis.org. Checking on the Arts is made possible by contributing listeners and by the Pink Palace Museum, featuring National Parks Adventure, a celebration of America's national parks and their centennial, now showing in the CTI 3D Giant Theater. This incredible story will help you find your park at the Pink Palace Museum.